I remember the war. In wartime, killing comes easily. Especially when you don't have to do any of it. There will always be people like you. Wanting to document, wanting to record some sort of diary.
Me? You're the one who put the camera in my hands. You're the one who made me want to do this.
Not this. This is a diary of cruelty. And in wartime, when the enemy can be marked as this son of a bitch, or that son of a bitch, then cruelty becomes justified.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Look at Mary.
She's dead.
She's turning.
God. This is like too much. Too much.
Give it to me. You can't do this. Give me the gun.
Welcome to the Three Film Egos. I'm your hirsute host, Isaac Jensen, and with me, as always, is Utah's whitest black child, Clayton Godby.
Next episode.
And our resident vegan dreadlocked Portlandier, Ryan Cragen.
Next fucking episode.
This is a film discussion podcast where we each pick a film based on a predetermined theme or topic and then talk about anything but. There will be tangents. There will not be spoiler alerts. Consider yourselves warned. On this episode, Romero-thon Part 2.
So, let us go to Land, George Romero's Hollywood movie.
Land of the Dead, which came after the biggest gap between films. This was 2005, so nearly 20 years later after Day of the Dead. Yeah, this one definitely feels like it's got the biggest budget. It's got a pretty big cast as far as, you know, this kind of movie goes. And this one, I think this is the only one where the first shot is of zombies, as opposed to waiting a minute or two. Is that right? I don't know if I remember correctly, but I think it opens on zombies running around. It looks like kind of like a southern plantation looking thing.
I wonder if he got the money to do this, because this came out a year after the remake of Dawn of the Dead. And I'm pretty sure Dawn of the Dead did pretty well.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, it did really well, I think.
Yeah, it seems like it did really well. I actually watched Dawn of the Dead, and it's different enough. Yeah. It's different enough to merit a remake, I think. It's definitely... I guess we can't really talk about the remake of Dawn of the Dead and the Romero-thon, but I definitely think that they're tied together. I think the reason that Dawn did well is the reason that any studio gave George Romero money to make another zombie movie.
Because people will see it.
Yeah, because they were just like, oh, shit, we can throw $30 million at this guy and then we'll make a boatload of money. Zombies are in.
Yeah, that's true.
I thought this was by far way shittier than the previous one.
Yeah,
I think he suffered from a little bit of George Lucas syndrome. When you give a director that has an interesting mind a lot of money, usually he only produces crap. You know, I feel like this is definitely his Star Wars Phantom Menace. For
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, definitely.
I feel like we gave him a lot of money. We gave him a studio, gave him effects, and he just shit all over us. Shit all over
our
faces. So, I guess we should talk about the plot. Basically, you have a city that's fortified on all sides, and there's one bureaucrat, played by Dennis Hopper, that kind of controls the whole thing, and they're surrounded by swords and water, because I don't think the zombies are going to eat them, and they're selling real estate to people and things like that, and there's slums, and so it's supposed to be kind of a social commentary, I guess, on
class war.
If you want to call it that. And then you've got a zombie. It's kind of, this is weird because this one actually has kind of a lead zombie character as well. And it's just a zombie that seems to be getting smarter, that's kind of leading the army. And I feel like he's actually trying to make us feel like the good guys in this movie are actually kind of the zombie, which was different. You know what I mean? You kind of almost feel a little sympathetic for the zombie just getting his ass kicked all the time.
Yeah,
and you want to see him get, you know, his revenge on on the evildoers.
That may have started a bit with Day of the Dead, but definitely this is the biggest one where you're cheering for that one lead zombie, and you're like, yeah, man, he better kill some people.
But
and he's so compassionate too, where he sees zombies killed and it really bothers him. Is that the first time that happened? That was definitely rare from the first movies.
Pretty sure he's the first zombie that gives a shit about any of the other zombies.
Or himself, his own post-life.
He seems to be leading
the first one conscious of, maybe I shouldn't get shot in the head.
Yeah.
And then I can shoot
again.
Others in the head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
This one feels like, to me, like the most natural a progression from the one before, because it's kind of similar in that it takes place a significant amount of time after the first kind of infection. And it's how people are dealing with, you know, this horde of zombies. And, you know, so it's similar to Day in that regard.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try and articulate the best I can and why I think you guys are wrong about this and how this is actually a decent horror flick. And I disagree completely on that. This is Romero just shitting on us because he had more money. I think the fact that he had more money allowed him to kind of expand his creativity to a point where, I don't know, it goes further and bigger than anyone previous. And I was actually really stoked to see that. I was actually kind of stoked to see what this guy could do with all this money. And I'm not going to say it's necessarily a better film than the ones before, but I still had a lot of fun with this one. I wouldn't say it's as important as Night of the Living Dead, but I think it's probably the best of all six.
Wow.
That's a bold statement. I didn't really buy into, I didn't buy into any of the characters at all. I didn't really care about any of them. They seem to be all kind of in it for themselves. We finally, at least in this one, get a woman that can be a woman. A woman that kicks ass, finally, which was a breath of fresh air. I felt like he had 20 years to kind of think about what he might put in his next zombie movie, and I think all of the ideas that he had, every one of them, he tried to cram in one movie. I don't feel like it was that well thought out. I
wouldn't necessarily disagree, but what I'm saying is I actually had the money to put together a team of competent people to put this film together.
Absolutely.
Not to say that the story or the plot was better than any of the rest. I just think it's a more well put together film.
I will agree that this is definitely the best of the latter three, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, that too.
I think it has by far the best cast. John Leguizamo, Dennis Hopper, or Ace.
I think it's definitely the best acting of any of the films. Mm-hmm. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're any good.
Yeah,
you know,
they were the only good parts, though. That's.
They were the only close to good parts. Dennis Hopper really reminded me of his own character in Blue Velvet in this for some reason, just like super controlling, less crazy. I mean, obviously less like insane, but he really reminded me of that character.
I wanted to see more Dennis Hopper. Like I was stoked to see him in this. I was actually surprised when John Leguizamo showed up because I was like, oh, wow, they actually have a cast here and they're actually acting.
I was too.
I don't know. After having sat through the first three, I think I went into this thinking, you know, I'm not going to take this seriously at all. I'm just going to sit back and enjoy it. And I found myself extremely entertained.
I wouldn't say I was extremely entertained. Probably for me, I was less entertained by this than Day or Dawn. Maybe because I thought it was taking itself more seriously with the look of the film and I guess just because it was produced at such a high value, I think that I enjoyed my viewing experience more with Dawn and with Day, and that this would be my third favorite, maybe, of the whole series.
Yeah, it's hard for me to say where it falls, but I think as far as the look and the feel and like the set design, I think this is probably the most fully realized of any of them. It actually feels like a real location. It's dirty. It's gritty. It has a good kind of horror look to it. Whereas the three prior to this were all really bright. This one was actually dark.
Yeah.
I will agree with that.
Yeah, it had just small little touches that are refreshing to me. Like, for me, this is, I think, one of the only ones I found myself laughing out loud at certain parts. Like when they're given the task to go and recover the big, gigantic bus vehicle thing.
The Dead Reckoning. And the name of it was what made me hate it so much. Dead Reckoning is the dumbest name for a
Dead Reckoning
war bus.
Yeah, but I thought that was consistent with the tone of the film. I mean, of course it's going to be something stupid like that. But so they get tasked to go and recover Dead Reckoning, and of course Dennis Hopper's character doesn't trust them to do it themselves, so he sends some guards with them. And in walk these two guards, and then following them is this gigantic Latino dude walks in, and he says, you know, his name's Pillsbury. And I was laughing hysterically.
There were parts that it was taking itself a little bit less seriously, but those were also some of the parts that I really disagreed with. Like, this is one of the, correct me if I'm wrong, there's just two films that take place a significant time after, like, the zombie apocalypse has started, and zombies pretty much have the world. And in this one, somehow there's a band that's still in its gazebo, like, holding their instruments. They've never dropped them after who knows how long they've been there playing these instruments. And it just seemed like by the time this setting would have been like this, by the time this would have occurred, people would have moved around more. But they're still playing on, I think they go in a liquor store. Is it in this one? They go in a liquor store and the security guard is still in there.
Yeah.
But he's the only one in there, so how did he become a zombie? Unless he could die and become a zombie without being attacked by a zombie. But anyway, there were just a lot of really unbelievable parts to this one for me.
It was more of an action movie, for sure. It was definitely more of a popcorn movie. I felt that the previous ones, I felt that, again, his attempt to inject social commentary was ridiculous. I didn't care.
Yeah, I was kind of bothered by all of the... I'm trying to get somewhere, and I'm trying to get some money, you know, and, you know, rising up from their lower class to middle, higher class, all of those themes.
I mean, it's probably, I don't know, it's not the most contrived attempt at social commentary, but it's definitely on the nose a bit too much. Like, I think the scene where John Leguizamo is talking to Dennis Hopper saying, well, I've got the money now, so let me move in, you know, let me get the high-rise apartment, move in with all the rich crowds, and Dennis Hopper gives him a look and says, there's a long waiting list. And it's like, oh, of course, yeah. I don't know. I think to try and judge film on whether or not it's effective in its social commentary kind of does it a disservice, just like I think with any of these Romero films, because I don't think any of them are necessarily effective. I mean, they probably get people talking to a certain regard, but probably none more than Night of the Living Dead, and even that was an accident.
Well, I think that's just one of the problems with what I'd heard about this movie going in, which is why I should hate ever hearing anything about a movie going in, is that I heard that Romero's movies were all horror movies that had social commentary in them.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so,
I've never heard that.
Like, there's going to be social commentary in these movies, and you can find it in all of them, but it just doesn't make any sense, and it's not done well.
I don't think there's any more social commentary in any of these films than there are in other, like, just like regular action films you'll find at any 16 screen theater, you know, corporate run theater. Like, I didn't see a great deal of social commentary with any of them, and I think if I were looking for that, I would have been bothered. But I wasn't looking for that. I judge these films more on if they accomplish what I feel like they were trying to accomplish in me, and that for me is some scares. That's where the thriller comes in, you know, some suspense and a little bit of, you know, lingering, you know, like looking around corners, I don't know, you know, like just creep out feeling, which is a kind of just general scary movie horror thing. And the social commentary, I see him making attempts. And I think that, I don't know, like it failed to communicate anything about the topics. It just brings up the topic like, okay, here's this class warfare topic. It doesn't have anything to say about it. And that's true of any of the... that might be true of any of the social commentaries he attempts in any of the movies.
I think a big thing he was trying to say was that even in mass tragedy and pretty much end of the world scenarios, the people in power and who have wealth will try to keep it and maintain their status of living, and, you know, to the detriment of anyone they can kind of walk over to get there. And I think that rings true to a certain degree, but also it you know, like you said, it's not necessarily trying to tell you anything about that. It's just saying, here's the topic, now discuss amongst yourselves.
I just have a hard time believing such an economy existed on this little tiny island. That is what took me out of it. Like, it just wasn't plausible. that you're going to have all these high rollers held up in this tower. Like, who the hell is going to protect them? What is this money, this currency? Like, they don't have any resources. Like, I'm pretty sure at this point it's save your own ass together.
I think that's kind of plausible. I think that makes sense that would maybe be the case. I could see how that could happen, where people who have control of actual resources, whatever matters in a post-apocalyptic scenario.
Guns and food. That's it.
Yeah, guns and food. So, you know, Denver's got them, and he wants to dispense them to his friends, and those people are powerful. But I still think that only really informs or talks about a post-apocalyptic scenario, kind of like when in Day we were talking about all the lessons that we learn are lessons about zombies. So, like, why does it matter? I don't know. That's what I felt like. Is he's elaborating on his world, his Dead series world, and the things that are true in this world, but what do I take home, you know, to my life or whatever? Which, I mean, that's not what he's trying to do. I think he's only partially trying to do that. Maybe a quarter of the time spent in the movie, not even that probably, is spent like, okay, here's something to talk about. But most of it really is just scares and shocking imagery of the insides of human beings.
I think if you compare this movie to the movie that started the revamp, Dawn, I think somebody remade his movie better than the movie he put out. You know what I'm saying? They came in around the same time. Like, yeah. I'm pretty sure that the Dawn of the Dead remake was more enjoyable than Land of the Dead that came out a year after. And so that's
See, I don't remember it. I didn't watch the remake for our Romero-thon.
I did, and it definitely is different, but it's definitely true, but I still liked it a whole hell of a lot more.
Were the zombies still slow?
No.
No, they changed
that. Oh. Super fast.
Super fast. Sure.
Like faster than humans?
No, just normal.
Yeah.
Fast.
Oh, okay.
They weren't supercharged.
Yeah, I was like, how does dying somehow help you to like chase people?
They're kind of supercharged. It's like as soon as they saw a human, they just immediately straight line as fast as they could run. Like almost to the point where you barely had any time to react before they were on you.
Yeah, but I think it's more successful in keeping you scared. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'll agree with that. The remake Dawn of the Dead has some similar character issues. Like, there's several characters that aren't fleshed out at all, but the characters they do flesh out, actually, you care about them.
I like the guy that's kind of across the parking lot.
Yeah. Yeah, the arms.
Yeah, the guns.
Ammunition store guy. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I just kind of had a better time with the remake. That movie that was remade than any of the other movies that Romero makes.
Yeah. See, I don't necessarily agree. I enjoyed the remake, but I think I'm more likely to return to some of these Romero ones. Even Land of the Dead, I think I'd be more likely to return to sooner than the Dawn of the Dead remake.
But Ryan, when you say that, what is it about that you think was more successful? Was it trying less to make social commentaries and then failing at it, or was it trying less to have downtime and just was more action-packed or more suspense-packed? Like, how did it fulfill for you what you wanted?
I liked the characters more, and that was really all it took, and the story.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, we were in the mall again, and it was, you know, and so it was still – it definitely felt like more real. I don't know. Maybe I just needed fast zombies. No, I don't
know. Also the only one to have a zombie baby.
It's true.
Oh.
Who doesn't want a zombie baby?
That's cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, you gotta love gratuitous shooting kids in the face, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want to shoot that?
I don't. but, I mean, I don't know. But I think that's a big part of zombie movies, is, like, seeing something that is a little bit edgy, like, I don't know. I want to talk about that more when we get to Survival. So, or no, wait, Diary. Well, both of those, actually.
Yeah. All in all, I definitely think this movie was, I guess, what was it, $15 million budget? I think he succeeded in doing what he was trying to do.
Yeah.
But
I just
don't think he's very good.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying this is a good, you know, film. I'm just saying I really enjoyed it. And I think it's got just the right level of camp, and it's not taking itself too seriously. And
yeah, for sure.
I don't know. I don't know. It's dumb fun. It's dumb fun for me.
See, but there are dumb fun movies that I like too. I mean, like, but this isn't Starship Troopers dumb fun. Like.
Yeah, like RoboCop.
Yeah, this isn't. Yeah, the damn bugs whacked him, Johnny. This isn't. I don't know. I feel like if you're not going to take itself too seriously, why are you trying to make social commentary?
No, that's a good point. That's a really good point. Like yeah, why try and impose any kind of serious message?
Yeah, this is just going to be fun. Yeah, why are you putting social commentary in this movie?
But like, that might be some of the appeal of Romero.
Maybe.
For some people. Not for Ryan.
Not for me. I'm just talking about the shitty parts of this movie. I'm trying to remember the stuff that I liked.
I'm thinking about it now. It's like, yeah, the reason I enjoyed it is not because of the commentary. That was just like a byproduct. I liked it because it was fun. I didn't even really give any credence to the social commentary, except to think about what we would talk about on this discussion. Mm-hmm. And it's essentially empty. One thing I noticed about this one, and I think it's in Day as well, and I think it was a trend kind of through 80s and 90s action films where the main bad guy of the film always would use a racial slur.
Really?
Yeah, it's like Dennis Hopper, I think he refers to John Leguizamo as, you know, what do you call him, like a wetback or something?
Oh, yeah. I think he does.
I think in Day, the general, I think, refers to Arab character as, I can't remember the exact racial slur, but I'm pretty sure he uses a racial slur. And that's something I've noticed before in action films kind of from this era. It's like you have to further vilify the bad guy. So when he gets killed, it's like damn right he gets killed.
Well, considering this was made in 2005, I don't think that's still pertinent to being a mid-90s thing. Romero was stuck in 1996.
Yeah, I think it was more jarring to me in this one because it was a more recent film. Whereas with Day, I think I kind of pushed it to the side because I knew that's, you know, mid-80s. That's kind of something they would do in action films there. Not that it's right, but that's just, you know, you got to consider the times.
Well, I don't know if it's wrong either. I don't know if that's that wrong either. Is, you know, I hadn't even noticed that. So for me, an argument could be made that it was completely effective. Like, I didn't like, well, I don't like villains, you know, but maybe this is one of the methods that's employed to make the audience not like the villain. Just kind of a subtle thing.
I think it's exactly what it is. Yeah.
And, well, I don't know if that's necessarily a cop out. Like, I think that
then everyone hate him.
People don't like racist people, you know.
Exactly. You make a character racist, the audience is going to turn on him if they haven't already.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't necessary here.
Yeah.
But it also does play into the class war thing. Like class war is often racially charged as well. Mm-hmm. And so I think maybe it does have a place in this movie.
Yeah, that's a good point, too.
But here we are this fun, campy movie too seriously because it's got social commentary in it.
Yeah.
Touché.
No, it's okay to enjoy watching this movie. It's just we all agree that it's just not good. Like.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there were some shots specifically I really liked. Like, I think the scene where all the zombies, you know, I mean, the first one, the smart one, jumps into the water and he doesn't come back up until, you know, you cut across the river and then you see all these zombies start to rise up out of the water. That scene, to me, it was just like, oh, yeah.
See, you wanted more zombie action, dude. That's all you wanted.
I guess so, yeah. And maybe it's because the zombie was out for blood. Like he actually was cognizant that he wanted to kick some ass. I think that kind of elevated it for me, too. Instead of just being mindless, let's eat these people. It's like I wanna kill these people.
See, that's what I wanted in Day, and all I got was dialogue that wasn't very good.
So what we need to do?
I think the land may have lost me a little bit on that. I think that lead zombie was just not zombie enough for me. Like I still have this hang up that zombies are brainless. You know, that they're acting on instinct, like some of the previous movies had specifically said. They act only on instinct. Even if they don't have a stomach to put the food in, all they want is to eat. And it's because that's in their brain is what they do when food's in front of them. It never said why only humans are specifically what food is. But I think I liked that aspect more than the new idea about zombies that he was making here. Is that, you know, sometimes you'll have one that's way smarter and has more motives than that. But I kind of want
to keep zombies more in that brainless category.
He goes back.
Yeah,
I'll
agree with you. Yeah, I think that is probably the better form of a zombie. But I appreciate that Romero wanted to kind of push it and develop it and take it places that were different each previous installment.
Yeah, he's building on the Bub character from Day.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of there.
Definitely.
I still only think that he's pretty much just took every idea that he had had over 20 years about zombies or had heard and threw them into one movie.
That can't be completely true, though, because he's still resisting making them fast. He's still like, no way, my zombies, they are slow.
That is one thing he did hold. He held his guns to the slow walking zombies because they're Night of the Living Dead, right? Living Dead,
yeah.
not zombie. But I don't think I would ever watch this movie again.
Yeah, I mean,
I think I would in the right circumstances.
What, a 30 case just magically appeared on your door?
Yeah.
That might make it worthwhile.
I don't really remember the ending of this one though. Do people get away? Do they go somewhere?
I thought, dude, I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
There's there's something about this movie completely unmemorable.
Yeah, there's parts I remember.
Yeah, I remember some parts, but
maybe just take off in the bus.
Do they just take off in Dead Reckoning and peace out?
I think so.
Because there's that, like, there's the rendezvous at the end. I think for some reason that's what happened, and then they bail.
I do not remember.
I seriously don't know.
It probably doesn't matter.
Yeah, it probably doesn't matter. I think I remember it being similar to the Dawn, where I think they take off and just kind of end.
Take off and then, over.
All right, well, let's move right along. Let's hit Diary.
Diary, for me, I just did not like this movie. Like, even from a just trying to enjoy it and take it for what it is and enjoy the ride. And it might be that I'm slightly over the point of view, like, this is a camera, people trying to document something, because we just recently did both Troll Hunter and Cloverfield, both of which I might argue were better than this movie.
Way better. You don't have to argue.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of closer to Cloverfield, but because it is much more serious than Troll Hunter. Troll Hunter is just different because it's almost mostly a comedy. But anyway, it's just, you know, some filmmaker kids try to escape zombies and film it. And I just didn't enjoy it very much.
It was Land of the Dead meets Blair Witch Project. And
yeah.
And then that's kind of how it was. And I guess I missed that disclaimer at the beginning of this one where it says that we put this together and we added a soundtrack to it to make it scarier. It's just like, if you're going to commit to a first-person shot, like a handheld shot movie, you need to fucking commit to it, Romero.
Yeah, well, let's start from the beginning of this one. It opens with some news footage. It's like people kind of prepping the camera to get ready for like the 9 o'clock news, and it's got the reporter talking to the cameraman, and it's outside of this supposed like murder-suicide kind of situation. And while they're preparing, they notice that the corpses being wheeled out on gurneys start to move and come back to life. And one of them jumps off the gurney and you know, gets the reporter woman, and it's all on camera. And then I think it cuts to that kind of intro with a lot of voiceover narration and just kind of shots of some of the characters saying, like, it was shot on these kind of cameras, and it even has a different title than Diary of the Dead. It's like saying, this is a student film called, I can't remember what it was, something stupid.
It was something of the dead, like.
No, it wasn't of the dead. It was something like Dead Alive, or I don't know.
It was something, because it was a mummy movie, so it had dead in the title, and I thought that was strange.
Because they're pit students shooting a movie, right? And they're shooting, and there's some...
Yeah, and that's why I had the camera.
Professor alcoholic
but,
guy.
The name they gave to the film that we're supposedly watching was not the name of the movie they were shooting. Shit, I can't remember. I guess it really doesn't matter. But yeah, it says like the main female character is talking about how they got all the footage together, edited it together, and put some music on it because what they want to do is not only tell the truth but scare people. I don't know. There are elements of this one I thought were pretty interesting. It's definitely not on par with anything up to this point. but that's not to say I didn't enjoy it per se. I mean, I'm probably going to be more favorable to it than you guys are, but that's not to say I think it's, you know, as good as anything previous.
Yeah, well, right. this one finally had mandatory boobs, which which in 2007 are pretty much required for any decent horror movie. Mandatory boobs. And he hadn't had it up until this point, and he finally had mandatory boobs.
And they even kind of mentioned that when they're filming the Mummy movie.
Mm-hmm. He finally
succumbed. So I thought it was really funny when that...
showing some tits.
The Mummy movie was called Death of the Dead, which... I just another Romero movie, maybe a future Romero movie.
Yeah, Romero making his own movie in his own movie.
How is a mummy different from a zombie, really, though? Except for being Egyptian, is it just a racial differentiation?
It's
wrapped up.
Is what it is.
Wrapped up.
I don't know. The elements I thought were pretty interesting is I think this is the first one with a very young cast, and the leads are all in college age. So it's I think it's a different perspective from the rest. Like, I think when they are trying to flee the town in the RV, and the young girl driving is very religious, and they end up running down some people, and they're not sure yet what these people are, like if they're dead, alive, if there's a virus. But to protect themselves, they have to kill these people. And then her reaction to that, I think, is, like, really effective, because I think it kind of surprised me. This goes to Clayton's previous point of how this is inconsistent, because she ends up shooting herself, the religious girl, for what she's seen. And she comes back. She wasn't bitten, but she comes back.
Yeah, that's true. I also think that I think Romero realized that at this point in the 2000s, a lot of his audience is going to be teenage or early 20-year-olds, just like a younger audience finding these, and that's the reason that the characters are young, you know, especially for teenagers seeing like 20-year-olds in a movie where you're going to see some blood and see some like cool stuff, you know, like characters that you can almost a little bit look up to. Like, they're cool, they're making a horror movie, so guys going to a horror movie are going to be interested in that. I think that plays a role in that decision, maybe.
Probably. Did this movie even get like a real theatrical release, or was this like a straight-to-video kind of thing?
I don't even know. Oh,
yeah, I don't remember.
Find out.
I don't know. Another thing I thought was interesting about this is I think it's one of the first found footage films I've seen where they had two people manning a camera, and it would cut back and forth between perspectives, which is kind of clunky, so it's kind of understandable why most other found footage films don't do that. Because for a shot to cut back 180 degrees to look at something it's, you know, facing and back and forth, it's kind of disorienting in a film, and it kind of breaks the 180-degree rule, as it's called, where you don't want to disorient your audience. Although, really skillful filmmakers make that rule a line to great effect. This one, not so much. I just thought it was interesting.
I thought it, like a lot of the cinematic decisions of the film, were a cop-out. And I think I just am super conscious of, like, the way an actual camera, you know, does things, and the way that home videos feel, like, that was a frustration to me, just like the sound effects and the music. It was just made too much like a movie to be a single camera, and I think they're finding that second camera in a hospital was just a way for him to be able to get more angles when he wanted them.
He couldn't commit to the first person view at all.
Yeah,
it just didn't work. The handheld footage aspect should have been scrapped from day one.
And that's the way I felt about Cloverfield. I'm just going to say one thing. That's the way I felt about Cloverfield with its cutting back to previous footage, where some of those scenes were like, oh, all this action's happening, and then you cut back and see their relationship set up, were some of my favorite parts. It still bothered me for that reason. Of it just felt like a way, here is background and character development for these characters that you're seeing. This is why you should care. And any time I see any of that I feel like is out front, where you can see it. Like, this is a decision so that the movie will be more like a movie. But it bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like Cloverfield executed it much better, though.
Yeah, Cloverfield's a lot better than this. But that was a slight problem for me with Cloverfield.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate Romero taking a risk and trying to do something different, but you can definitely tell he was uncomfortable with this new approach.
I don't know if he was uncomfortable or he just didn't realize that he didn't do it well.
Yeah, that might be it, too.
I don't know. I think that he probably, he must have been uncomfortable, like thinking, how am I going to make them jump if, like, there's no sound effect, if there's no creepy music? And he was uncomfortable with trying to commit to that kind of movie. And maybe he doesn't recognize that it was discomfort on his part and that we can all see it. And that's why you shouldn't try to get around it. But I think that was the basis for those decisions.
Yeah, this seemed like the first one to actually have tactics to try and make the audience jump, like those kind of loud bangs and flashes on the screen kind of stuff. Wasn't really at all utilized throughout any of the previous four.
Yeah, he went out trying to make a student film, and he succeeded.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like, that's how I feel about this movie.
This movie went to the Sundance Film Festival.
Is that as far as it went?
How it got accepted because of his legacy, I'm guessing.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, how much shit goes to the Sundance Film Festival these days?
Dude, I can tell you a lot. It seems like, yeah, I think I only got to see four films at last year's Sundance, and I only liked one of them.
Yeah. Well, they only take a fraction of their submissions. So I can't imagine having the job of having to watch all those films to see if they'll show it.
If I got paid, I could probably handle it.
Yeah, well, I guess so. Yeah, if I was getting paid. But I think I've heard an interview with one of the guys who's in charge of that saying he actually gives each film its proper due and watches it in entirety, even if it's excruciatingly bad. That takes some balls. Yeah.
I don't know. He might be saying that. I guarantee there's one or two that he's seen a half hour and just been like, well, I could go to dinner right now. I could do that.
Just because you do that doesn't mean he does, Ryan. low blow.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Just kidding. I don't know. What else about this movie?
I don't think there's a whole lot more.
The zombies are pretty much the exact same as any of them in the last three.
Yeah.
His special effects are similar, but there are some really lame CGI special effects in this movie and the last one specifically. The last two, and I just don't understand it. Like, I felt like I was less bothered by special effects in, like, Day of the Dead than in Diary and Survival, where there are some deaths that are just super contrived also. Like the, what are those called? The you know, revival electric shock instrument that is in the hospital.
Oh, the defibrillator.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
I didn't like that at all because it just seemed like, oh, you know, it would be a crazy way to kill someone. Just put those on there and then a head explodes, you know, like.
Or are you kidding? There's
I think
worse
death
in the
scenes,
next one, but
yeah, no, it does get worse. But I think death scenes that I feel like were just like brainstorming, like how could someone die that would be messed up, that would be like crazy to watch. I'm always just super turned off by that. And there was one in Land also, I think. No, wait, was it Survival? I don't remember where there's a zombie's head that's just on fire, and he lights a cigarette with it. Not
that
cool.
Was Survival.
Survival.
Oh, okay.
He also uses the fire extinguisher in the zombie's mouth and blows his head up with the fire extinguisher, which would not happen.
Yeah.
But
probably my least favorite zombie death of all the zombie deaths that looked fake or like couldn't have happened.
It looked like toothpaste coming out of a tube. You're just like, really? Mm-hmm. Come on.
And it's so CGI. Like, I think we talked about this a lot with The Thing, but those special effects just are really annoying. And if they had done something closer to what they were doing in Day of the Dead, I think it would have been a lot better.
So we agree that even campy effects, like that are better than visual effects that are CGI sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you'll take campy, real, actual physical effects that are physically on the set as opposed to some CGI head, like the heads that were lined up along the poles in Survival.
Oh yeah, those were bad. That looked like a video game or something. Like, that was so bad. Like, they were, like, moving. They were, like, barely moving. And then as soon as they're shot, they, like, stop moving. It just, like, freezes them. Instead of, like, them dying and, like, making a reaction to being shot, they just stop moving. That looks so bad.
Yeah, and computer graphics, they're getting close, but they're still not quite to the point where they can have any kind of feel of authenticity. That's why the practical effects are so much superior, like especially with this thing, or pretty much anything Cronenberg did in the 80s, like Videodrome or Naked Lunch, because you don't have to tell your brain you're seeing something that's not there, because it's not there. But with practical effects, it's like, I'm seeing something. I don't know how they did that, but that's there.
I think if you use both together, it works. Like, did either of you guys watch the finale of Breaking Bad?
No
spoilers, please. Not caught up yet.
All right.
Not a TV guy.
Well,
I'm getting there. I should probably get there this weekend.
Breaking Bad's not television, Clayton. It's
I'm not a Breaking Bad guy yet, then, I'll say. Is it on DVD? Like, how many seasons of this are there? I'm just completely oblivious to it, really.
There's four. This is the fourth one that's ending.
The fourth. There's only going to be one more season.
I find it hard to believe that you could watch this series and not enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, not to overhype it or anything, but I think it's the best thing on television.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah.
It's my favorite show since its first season. It's just, what they're doing there is unlike any other show ever, in that you have a character arc that is a downward slope. It doesn't, you know, arch up and down. It pretty much starts at one point and then just plummets throughout each season. So the character, as you're watching the character evolve or devolve. It's fascinating to think about, because you think about where he's gone, especially all through season three, and where he started, and it's a completely different person. Mm-hmm. I don't think any other show has even tried to do that.
It takes superb acting, too. Like, it's just, everything's so good. It's, I don't know, don't want to overhype it, but I'm a big fan.
I don't know, I really think Breaking Bad is hype-proof. It's that good.
I'll have to check it out.
You won't be disappointed, because it definitely just keeps getting better. I mean, except for the cracked end for a half a season, but other than that, it was perfect.
I'm not completely a non-television guy. I mean, I have my shows that I watch, but usually I enjoy comedic television more than dramatic TV shows and stuff. I don't know. We'll see. I'll check it out.
It's pretty funny. Bob Odenkirk's one of the...
Saul.
So there's definitely some humor in some of it. Dark as fuck.
I'm really picky with my TV dramas. Like, I don't like the dramas that are the same every week, like House or those kinds of shows. Really character-driven, have, you know, huge character arcs, like Mad Men, Breaking Bad, Sopranos.
Mad Men is way cool. Mad Men is awesome.
Yeah.
Mad Men, happens. Same that way. But, yeah. Mad Men is...
Yeah, if you...
Alcohol character studies is all it is, but...
Yeah, if you like Mad Men, you're going to like Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll believe it. I bet I'll like it. But usually when I'm, like, watching a TV show and I get obsessed with the TV show, it's something like Arrested Development, where it's like, funny. This is awesome, you know? And, like, the characters are nowhere near being real. Like, I love It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It's, like, not real characters, but you're not going there to see real characters. But the characters still build on themselves, and the jokes build on themselves.
Dude, I totally
agree. Enjoy the...
Both of those shows are stellar. And I think
they're great.
Similar tastes. We like quality, and this is definitely quality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool. I haven't ventured into Sunny in Philadelphia yet, but I've been meaning to.
It's hilarious.
It's Arrested Development, though. You have to start at the beginning and allow the characters to build the way... Yeah, because I mean,
any show I watch.
Yeah. I mean, I may not even really like season 5 that much. It's just getting too ridiculous now for me. But in the context of the character in general, I can still laugh at it.
I think I stopped at like season 3. I haven't picked it up yet, but I'm sure I will.
See, the first 3 seasons are the best. After that, it starts getting outlandish, like ridiculous.
All right, so two things I have to say right here. One, we are sick of talking about Diary of Dead, or two, we are avoiding talking about Survival.
We needed a tangent, first of all, because I just needed because for the love of Christ, George Romero.
Yeah, at this point in watching the movies, I was definitely feeling zombie fatigue, as I'm sure you guys were too.
Oh, dude.
And I think that's why we are tangenting, because we're so sick of talking about zombies too now.
Yeah, I think we'll all agree survival is by far the worst in the film.
By far. He definitely, this is where the wheels fell off, and he
and
my theory that he sucks as a director comes completely full.
Yeah. Let's kind of introduce it. Survival is the only film that actually relates directly to any of the previous films, in that it takes one of the characters that showed up for like a 2-minute scene in Diary and goes off on his story. So this is essentially the same world, same, you know, storyline, same time period as that one. And it's this military, this army dude and his cohorts, they show up in Diary and they raid the RV that all the students are in and take all their weapons and pretty much say, you know, they think they show up that they're going to get help from these military guys, but they end up just taking all their stuff and then saying, you know, screw you, you're on your own. And what's funny is when that scene happened in Diary of the Dead, I'm like, this army dude is actually interesting. He's actually got some depth there that is coming through, even though we only see him for like half a minute. I wish we could follow him. So when he showed up at the very first scene of Survival, I was like, all right, this might redeem Diary. But it essentially it crashed and burned hard.
I don't know. It just didn't have anything new to say, and it was, I don't know.
It was so stupid. I didn't care about any of the characters at all. And there were gratuitous, like, the lesbian masturbation shot.
Yeah.
Like, as the character introduction, I'm just like, oh, great. Like,
yeah.
He's sick of his own fucking movies that he has nothing better to do. Like, zombies aren't even really in this movie, and they're never really even a threat. There's no zombie hordes. There's just zombies kind of hanging out, and they just get shot. That's it. They're just chilling. They just randomly pop into frames. Oh, there's a zombie. Blow his head off, and that's it.
This one was trying the hardest to put forth a message, you know, kind of at the expense of any action. I mean, it kind of opens with this community on an island off of, I don't know, somewhere off the East Coast. And it's like two rival family groups. One of them's Irish and has like the most blatantly Irish name. Like, what's his name? Seamus O'Reilly or something like that. It's like, how much more of a stereotypical Irish name can you have? And he's got the accent and everything. And what he's trying to do is go around and kill all the zombies because he perceives them as a danger. Then the other faction, some other terrible like Irish name or something. He's of a faction saying, you know, this is our family. We should try and let them live until maybe a cure can be found or you know, that kind of element. And it eventually happens that the Irish dude gets kicked off the island with another couple of guys because everyone else sides with the other guy who wants to try and keep the zombies alive. And it's even the Irish guy's daughter, who turns out, spoiler alert, has a twin.
Yeah, that comes out of nowhere and easily could have been said earlier.
So that's kind of like
Flynn's daughter.
5 minutes. Yeah, and that's kind of the first 5 minutes, and then it follows the army dudes as they, you know, essentially they're trying to find a place where it's safe, and they hear about this island. Or I guess one of them hops on a computer and sees this YouTube video of the Irish dude who's on the shore sending people across the water to this island saying it's safe there. And so they head towards the bay there, and they get in the battle with the Irish dude because the Irish dude just wants money. And but then the zombies attack, and, you know, all hell breaks loose. And they're able to commandeer a – what's that called? It's a ferry. They're able to commandeer a ferry and take that across the water. And when they get to the island, they discover that all of the zombies there are chained close to whatever it was they were doing. Like, the mailman has like a 10-foot chain around a mailbox. And so he delivers the mail and turns around. And once he gets to the end of the chain, he stops and then turns around and does it again. And you got zombies chopping wood, zombies, you know, threshing wheat. And then you've got the zombie daughter of the Irish guy running around the island on a horse. And I guess I could keep going. Should I keep going?
I love this because just listening to you just like describe the plot to it just makes so much better to me. You're more entertaining than the movie, so keep going.
All right, so they show up at the island. They see all that stuff. All of a sudden, they get fired at,
and they're able to take down this dude who's shooting at them, and they discover this huge pile of bodies on the shore, and the Irish guy starts lamenting, saying, "Oh, I sent him over here. And, you know, what kind of you know, evil person would sacrifice the living to preserve the dead?" And that starts, like, really hitting it hard, trying to say, like, you know, what its message is trying to be.
Yeah. And then, the ethics of killing zombies.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
give a shit, George.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, with all the other ones prior to this, I was able to suspend disbelief to a certain extent. Whereas this one, it's like, it makes no sense to me that anyone would agree to or even think it's a good idea to kill living people at the expense of sparing those who are already dead, or the living dead.
You know, my disbelief started far before then, even, when I realized that this movie is set in Delaware. Why is everyone so Irish?
Like, yeah, that too.
It's the most ridiculous. Like, you got your O'Flynn's and the Muldoon's battling it out.
Seamus O'Flynn.
Like, it was originally set in Ireland, and then he was just like, "Oh, wait a second." Like there was some reason he was like, "Now put it in America. Don't change anything else. Just put it in America."
This might have made more sense if it was like in the early 1800s, you know, after a bunch of, you know, immigrants had come over, and so there might have been a big Irish community whose, you know, offspring didn't have the accent anymore. I don't know.
It was just off the rails
the entire time, but George just kept on chugging along, and it's like, yeah, it got to a point maybe 2/3 of the way through. I was like, I'm so done with this, but I got to finish it because we're going to talk about it. But I was like, no more.
Yeah. Somebody gave him $4 million to make this piece of crap.
Billion.
$4 million.
Million. Which million. Is twice the budget of Diary, I think.
Twice. $4 million to make that.
And I don't think this one got a theatrical release. I think this is like a straight to Netflix kind of thing.
I'm pretty sure that neither of the last two got released at all. So I'm surprised anybody gave him money after his first straight to DVD zombie movie.
I don't know. I think this one was also trying to have some religious commentary, like with Muldoon, the one who wanted to preserve the dead to the living, and how when they capture one of the army, the lesbian army girl, and Muldoon brings her into the house and sees that the zombie wife is still in the kitchen, and Muldoon's like, you know, we believe that, you know, the woman has a place and blah, 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 and I don't know. It just was not clear at all what Romero was trying to say, like what his social commentary was supposed to be.
Yeah. Okay, so religion is here. What am I to believe about it from this? It seemed almost like he was using that as a way, I don't know, a strange way to vilify the villain, to vilify Muldoon. Is like, oh, well, there he is. He's a crazy religious guy, and like the people watching this movie are going to identify with not being religious or something like that. Like, oh, yeah. There he is, like, twisting the Bible and being crazy, so I'm not going to like him. Didn't make any sense, really.
It's really hard to draw that line, but maybe he was trying to say that, I mean, if you have these beliefs, it could potentially lead you into justifying murder of people at the preservation of something. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that actually is kind of what I was thinking, is that, like, that's where he's going with this.
That wasn't even the big message. I mean, the big message was, like, if we can train the zombies to eat animal flesh, then can we actually justify killing them if they're not going to come after us anymore? And at this point, I was like, you know, I'm kind of done with that idea, that humanizing the zombies that's been touched on.
Right, dude, he started that and hit it hardcore in Day. He's already done that.
He's done it in every movie since.
He hit it harder
since.
In Land, yeah.
He hit it in Land when he has an actual kind of person zombie.
Yeah, it wasn't so much
but,
in Diary.
But it was, I feel like it was even more in Day because it was even more them trying to train and, like, and get the zombies to not attack them. Even though in Land your lead zombie is more human, he's still very much against the living humans.
Yeah.
And in this one, it was still like people trying to get dead people to be nice.
I don't know, maybe it's trying to like equivocate zombies with intelligent animals. And it's like, of course, if there's an animal out there that is a predator and coming after humans and killing them, we're going to exterminate that animal. But if we can train the animal to, you know, if we can domesticate the animal, we're going to bring him into our homes and be friends with them. But I think that is even far too intellectual a statement than this movie merits.
This is in no way an animal rights movie.
No.
No.
And if it is, I think, fails miserably.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it fails miserably on a lot of aspects. But I'm saying that might be what it might be trying to say. Not necessarily animal rights, but what is the nature of this new entity and whether or not, like, what are the ethics of how we treat that new entity?
Yeah. And I think his main goal, his main message that he was trying to say is, like, feuds are dumb, you know, and don't be stubborn in your hatred, and learn to love each other, you know, is kind of as much of a message. Like, I don't know, there are a lot of messages all around, but that one, it just seemed like be nice to people. That's what it's trying to say. Like, was the biggest thing going on in the movie? Zombies were a side subject somehow.
And to me, the focus was the rivalry between the factions.
Yeah,
so, I don't know. I mean, they're
it's I don't know. I don't.
It's hurting my head a little bit.
Cut me out of this whole discussion of survival.
Yeah.
I would rather have nothing to say about it.
Yeah. Why there is nothing that you can say about it. I thought, I don't know, it wasn't even specifically beautiful to watch. Like, there were some parts that it definitely was trying to show some nature, and here's, I don't know, a pretty island, and oh, it would have been a nice place to live in, but even that, it didn't make that beautiful or anything.
No, I think it's probably the least competent. I think it's even worse than Night of the Living Dead. As far as, like, you know, the film craft goes. And there's one element, going back to Day for a second, the ending of Day, if you remember, was, I mean, after, like, the big climax at the big mansion, there's narration and shots taken of, like, these hillbillies going out and using zombies for target practice. Mm-hmm. And it has the line at the end, it's like, so it makes you wonder, are we even worth saving? And that's when it, like, cuts
to... That's Diary.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I went back to Diary. Did I say something different?
Oh, I thought you said Day. Sorry. Okay.
I might have said Day, but I meant Diary. Back to that.
Yeah.
And I think that is a concept, I think, that's trying to come back with survival, especially with the heads on the planks in that one scene where the army dude got that camp of hillbillies. It's like, yep. You know, if we're going to, you know, lower ourselves to the point where we treat this zombie, this new creature, as, you know, just targets, then are we really even worth saving? And it felt so contrived and trying to drive home a message so hard that it really just rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah. I think that in a small way can be, is one of the themes of almost all these movies. Maybe not Night so much, but almost all zombie movies and a lot of the horror genre in general has that theme, like, oh man, people can be awful. People can be awful to each other. Should we even be here? You know, and sci-fi. Sci-fi has a lot of that too.
Yeah.
But most of those messages in movies and sci-fi are kind of tempered with, you know, the good guys. The good guys doing good things, saying like, well, there's all this awfulness out here, but there's also all this goodness too. And that's the duality of humanity. Whereas with survival, it was pretty much just shitty people acting shittily the entire time.
And well, so there's the one of the two twins. The one of the two twins is kind of the hope factor. But what I guess I don't like it that much when even the people who are hopeful still get punished. You know, it's like, what is that saying about being hopeful? You know, like in most of these movies, all of your protagonists die. And I don't know. It's like, was it even really trying to make that message if it almost contradicts it with the latter happenings?
Well, I mean, it wasn't selling that message at, you know, any degree of efficiency.
Yeah, I think you should have spent less time worrying about ethical questions on whether or not we should worry about killing zombies and more about whether or not he should put an audience through 82 minutes of bullshit. I think we're analyzing this movie too much. I really don't. I didn't think it had nearly as much as we've given it. I really don't. I'm glad that you're discussing it. Don't get me wrong. That's what we do on this podcast. But I didn't get anything out of it besides I'm done watching zombie movies from George Romero by the time this one came around.
Yeah. Dude, I'm done watching zombie movies in general.
Well,
this has been a lot, like for a while, maybe a year.
Well, I don't know. I might watch The Walking Dead, but God.
So that's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, I think I might appreciate that a lot more now that I've seen the latter half of the Dead movies.
I might watch Walking Dead. I liked the graphic novels, so I might go there.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to watch Walking Dead, but it's because I have a lot of faith in the filmmakers. Frank Darabont has not put out anything terrible.
I've seen the first season.
It's good, yeah?
Not really. I mean,
oh.
It was I felt like there were moments of brilliance and tons of filler. I don't know whether or not, I guess I heard they fired a lot of writers after season one. So I'm hoping that the second season is gonna redeem it. But it definitely felt like there were about two episodes worth of good material in the six or however many episodes there were in the first season. But I'm still gonna watch all of them again before I watch season two because it's been a while.
Yeah, I still need to watch season one. I haven't seen it. I just know what people are saying about it.
What's different though is I watched six episodes of The Walking Dead and did not get zombie fatigue, whereas I watched six Dead movies and definitely did get zombie fatigue.
Yeah, from the so-called, you know, master of zombie cinema.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess the biggest lesson learned is we should stick with Shaun of the Dead and leave it at that.
Shaun of the Dead is amazing. I could watch that every couple months.
It takes the best elements of all these films and wraps it all into a comedy.
Yeah, I think that they were doing it right because it still has the shock, you know, it's still kind of a thriller. But then it's really just not taking itself very seriously. And that's the key with a zombie movie, because that's a silly concept.
And all the characters are fully realized and authentic, and you care about them. And speaking of Shaun of the Dead, it's something we forgot to talk about in Land of the Dead, is the Simon Pegg and Edgar Wright cameo.
Really? I don't remember it.
Because the what? Sorry.
It's not apparent. Simon Pegg and Edgar Wright, the director of Shaun of the Dead, made cameos as zombies in Land of the Dead. It's the scene where they're going through kind of the slums, and there's like the photo opportunity with the two zombies in chains, where you stand in front of them and they lunge at you and you take a photo.
Oh, yeah.
The one on the right is Simon Pegg, and the one on the left is Edgar Wright.
Oh, God.
Wow.
I was watching special features on the disc. And that was one of them.
That is interesting.
Yeah, the lesson to be learned is stick with Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, I mean, Romero himself is, you know, because of the cameos, he's a fan of Shaun of the Dead. And it even showed footage of them behind the scenes while filming Land. With Romero had a Shaun of the Dead pin on his vest, like, the entire time.
Well, maybe he can live his life vicariously through better movies that were inspired by his.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he can laugh at his own concepts. He just can't make a movie that allows other people to do the same.
No, I don't know. I think with Land and Day especially, I was able to laugh at what he was doing there.
I guess that's true. I laughed in Dawn. I actually laughed in Dawn probably more than any of the other ones.
I agree.
Like, the whole mall thing was just so, I don't know. It was just funny. I liked it.
Every store is kind of a different set in Dawn, and you had the music, and so it definitely felt, going from night, it was definitely way different, so it felt like a completely different movie, and it was in color. I don't think I was involved enough after Land to really care that much. That's when the zombie fatigue really hit, and then Diary wasn't good at all, and Survival was a complete train wreck.
Yeah.
So I wasn't exactly laughing.
There's a few things I think. I mean, let's talk about all six films kind of collectively. Mm-hmm. I noticed that each one kind of moved to a different setting. Like, each one had its own independent world and setting that was different from the one prior.
Except Diary and Survival.
Yeah, but even then, Survival had a different kind of feel to it, like on the island as opposed to... I mean, they're both really dark and gritty and had that same kind of feel to it.
But yeah.
The first one would be like on an island.
I'm not sure that it was intentionally moving worlds. I've actually kind of thought that he was intentionally trying to stay within the same understanding of zombies. And that all of these zombie scenarios could have happened in the same kind of universe, under the same rules.
Mm-hmm. I think he
sometimes failed a little bit at continuity with that, but I think he was attempting for it to be something of a series, for them to be similar zombie concepts. But they clearly don't happen in the same era, and that's what bothers me, is that some of them like Dawn of the Dead is a very 70s movie. Everything going on there is 70s, and then you have modern day ones that are happening now.
Yeah, Day is very 80s as well.
Yeah, they're
And with the exception of Diary and Survival, I liked how each one started. Like the story started a significant time later after the kind of first infection. Like Night was just right away. Day was like right in the middle of the mass infection going around. Day seemed to be a significant amount of time after, and then Land was like years after.
They felt different to me. I felt like he tried to keep the zombies, the rules of a zombie, pretty universal. But I'm pretty sure that, I mean, if you look at Day, it's just completely different. And Land is the most out of reality. I think
it almost feels slightly futuristic.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I mean, it would have it is futuristic because it's after the zombie apocalypse, but. I mean, not too far into the future, whereas like Diary is right now, is like happening. When was it made? Like 2007. Yeah, it was clearly made to occur in like 2007.
Yeah, he definitely mixed that up. I don't know. It's hard to judge them all.
Go ahead.
No, I just don't really. I mean, I understand the cult appeal of the first three. I'm just not so much a fan of the latter three at all.
Yeah, I think the fact that he kept using dead as the last word in the title maybe was a mistake, unless he was going to make some efforts to make it seem like they were the ones that tell like the advent of the zombie apocalypse, to make some effort for them all to be occurring simultaneously, which he only did with two of the movies. That, I think, would have given some reason for them to all have similar names. And I just don't feel like it's a series, or that he should have tried to make it seem like a series that much.
I don't know. I definitely feel fine about the names of the first three, because they kind of go in sequence, Night, Dawn, and Day. And it should have ended there.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much. Although you do love Land. You think Land's the best. You don't love Land. Don't get me wrong.
I enjoyed Land. I enjoyed it for what it was.
I think any of these movies are better. I think it's funny that you grasp onto the one that had the best acting, though, for sure. And the biggest budget.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say it's my favorite, and it's not one I necessarily... I don't know. It's that one is so far away from like the originals. Like I think Night, Day, and Dawn definitely kind of stand as like their own kind of entity, and then Land is just a huge departure. I think I like Land for different reasons, and it's I don't know. Like I'd say of the six, I think the one I would want to come back to the most, and might even say it's my favorite, is Day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, that's where I am too.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead. If we're going to choose favorites, mine's definitely probably going to be, I want to say co-favorites between Night and Dawn for two different reasons, but now... If I would have just watched the first three, I probably would have said Night, because I thought that Night was the best because it was making an actual social commentary that mattered in a creative way, but then he just beat the shit out of it. So I'm gonna go ahead and say Dawn is my favorite because I think it had the most influence on the zombie genre. And
yeah,
Cowboy.
Yeah, Cowboy Killer guy.
Even though it has the first motorcycle session, which damn near almost ruined the movie for me. I mean, big burly guys riding around the mall and, like, excessive shots of, like, here we are shooting people riding a motorcycle in the mall. Isn't that cool? Putting all that aside, I still think it probably stacks up. I definitely don't think The Day is better because I just couldn't get into it. Maybe with the second viewing, I'd appreciate it more. But I definitely would go 2-1, 2-1-3, 4-5-6. So in a sense, they almost get worse every time.
I think I would maybe go 3-2-4-1-5-6.
You like Land better than that?
I think I may have liked Land better than Night of the Living Dead. I may have.
Yeah. I think it's I gave Night a lot more.
The acting was so bad, and they would not say a single thing that was realistic. I just had a hard time with that. I laughed at parts that should not have been laughed at. I don't know. I had a hard time with that movie. The zombies didn't look like zombies. It was just like, maybe it's just because this was 40 or 50 or whatever years ago, and I'm just past being able to, like, okay, this is 63. It's 63. This is revolutionary, and I just can't do it. I don't know.
68. But...
No, 58, right.
68. It's not even that old. 68. This is, like, 30 years old. 35,
30. Yeah, I just didn't like it. I also think... The Day of the Dead might be the most gruesome. I think the Day of the Dead might be the most gruesome of them, with the most pulling people apart, the most innards, the most gore. Like, there's definitely a lot of violence and shooting people's heads, and they bust into two pieces, and heads on pikes and stuff in the latter trilogy. But I think it's less just, like, gratuitous, like, stare at this type of gore with lots of blood than Day of the Dead. And maybe that had something to do with it.
I don't know. I kind of feel like holding on campy special effects, while I can laugh at them, it definitely does not feel real at all. So sometimes I thought some of his shots were just like, we spend a lot of time on this effect, we're gonna make sure that this runs at least 3 seconds longer in this shot than we need it to. I kind of felt like that a lot on a lot of his gory stuff.
And see, maybe that's what I liked about it, is that I'm expecting it to cut. It's going to cut any second. He's cut. Why isn't it cutting? Why am I still watching this? And like, and so in that way, it was a slight bit more shocking than most action films I've seen. You know, you pit that against like modern day action films and horror stuff, and usually they will cut away, because I think there's this concept that if you don't see it, you'll be more afraid of it. It's the element of mystery, and you have to fill it in with your mind. But I think that insistence to just stick with the shot, I think I just enjoyed it.
Yeah, fair enough. It's all a matter of taste. I mean, we're really talking about which one of these turds stunk less a little bit. That's being too harsh. I actually enjoyed the first two, I think. And to a degree, the third, and then I just didn't care about the rest, pretty much. I think we beat this dead horse, though.
Yeah, I was just going to say, this horse is dead and came back to life, and then we put a bullet in its head.
To get involved in the discussion, you can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/3filmegos, follow us on Twitter, @3filmegos, or email us at 3filmegos@gmail.com. You can also comment at 3filmegos.podomatic.com, where you can also donate and subscribe to the show. Music provided by 90s Television. You can hear more of their music on Facebook. On our next episode, Revenge. We've been the 3 Filmegos. Thanks for listening.